Hello?
Hi, Mr. England. I hope I didn't wake you up, sir.
No.
This is Jeffrey Hill calling. I called you a couple days ago, and then I got your message. You had said to call you after 6 o'clock?
Right.
Yeah, it sounds like I guess I just woke you up, sir.
Yeah, but when the phone rings, it goes into the voice thing active. And it's almost not enough time for me to get the signal, but I got yours.
Oh.
What's going on?
Well, I don't know. Would you have like 5 minutes of time to talk to me for a second?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to feel about what I want to talk to you about. like I said, my name's Jeffrey Hill. I live in Canada. And I was looking at stuff on the internet. Okay?
Yeah.
And I came across this stuff about these guys, Craig Ranke and his friend, Aldo. And they had talked to you a few years ago, and you were really nice to them. And you brought them out to see your cabin and all that stuff, and they were asking you questions about 9/11. And, I had a few questions. I was reading that, first of all, did you see the plane, sir?
Yeah.
Did you see it hit the Pentagon?
No.
No?
Well, the reason I didn't see it hit the Pentagon, because the plane hit a pole on its wing.
Yeah, it hit a couple
it
poles.
Flying low and it hit poles. And one pole came down.
Mm-hmm.
And it came into the car like someone throwing a javelin. If I had a seatbelt on, it would have killed me.
Yeah, have you read any of the stuff about, like, the 9/11 stuff on the internet? Like, anything about yourself or anything?
No, the reason I didn't read it, because the people who wrote it didn't see it. I was there. All they could do is think what might happen, but I was there. Nothing.
Well, yeah, like I talked to a lot of people that saw the plane and they saw it hit the Pentagon. And then these guys are trying to tell me that they have proof that the plane didn't hit the Pentagon, it flew over the Pentagon. And
no, I've heard that. Now, there were lots of people on Route 27 in traffic waiting to get across the Memorial Bridge. So there were plenty of people on that side of the Pentagon. And I'm on the highway, but I'm on the opposite side of the highway. There are barricades between us, you know, where you just can't walk across. You can see across, but you can't walk across. And there was a little fire coming out of a little hole. It's big enough for a car to get in, but it's not big enough for a plane to get through. You didn't see like a car accident where you see glass and parts here and parts there. You didn't see nothing.
Like, did you notice the plane coming in before the light pole hit your taxi?
Yeah, the light pole was carried by the wing of the plane. And when it turned loose, it came down and hit my car. I never saw the pole. I mean, it was something that I never saw. When that pole come crashing through, it came crashing through.
Yeah.
Like I said, like I just someone that thrown a javelin. There was no way you could get out of the way of it because it was just too much force behind it.
Well, you know, there's a big internet conspiracy about the light pole hitting your taxi, and people are saying, well, how could the light pole possibly hit the taxi and not have made any damage to the hood of the car?
It didn't.
No.
It didn't. I have the car. I still have the car.
Yeah, I seen that video where you took Craig and Aldo to look at your car there.
Yeah, see?
I read something too where, did they steal your your taxi cab light from the top of your cab?
No, I gave it to them.
Oh, you gave it to them?
Yeah.
Okay, because I read that they stole it from you. But
no.
So that's good that they didn't do that. And I read too, like, some guy came and helped you take the light pole out of your...
He did. Once I stopped the car, it was quiet. I got out of the car. hold out because I would still drive the car home. Even though what happened had happened, that's my only transportation to get home.
Yeah.
And he helped me, and the pole was bent. And when I was trying to pull the pole out, we were both pulling the pole out, the bent part swung down. You know, it went down to where the heavy part, where that was itself off.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell on the ground, but I still held that pole up because the pole was heavy. It was a light pole. Mm-hmm. That was on the side of the street. And he helped me out, get it out of the car, and he got back in his van and went on off. And I was left with the pole on the ground.
So you were trying to get it out of the car, and this guy just must have stopped and saw you trying to get it out or something? Or?
Well, we got out together.
Oh, he got out of his car and you got out of your car or whatever? He came to see if you were all right or something?
Paul was out. Paul was sticking out of my car. But I think the pole was about 4 to 5 long.
Yeah.
So it's a long light pole. It was tapered. It's a long aluminum light pole. Now, I have a friend of mine that's a policeman at the Pentagon at the time. And he told me he knew where they took the pole to, you know, once they removed it.
Mm-hmm.
But I never went back over to see it.
So you didn't know, like, you were just driving along and then the pole just kind of smashed into your window? Like, you didn't...
Well, it didn't kind of smash. It came through. It came through the windshield. It came through the dashboard. It came through the front seat. And it stopped in the rear seat. Anybody sitting on the right-hand side of the car, it would have impaled them. It went right through them.
But it never, like, touched the roof, or the hood of the car?
No. No, it never did. It came at an angle that it cleared the hood.
Mhm. Yeah. Well, that's just like all I see. All these people talking like, well, how could the pole have hit his car and not damaged the hood? Those poles must have been staged, and I don't know.
Well, you know, they accused me of being paid.
Oh, yeah, I heard you were a paid part of the 9/11 conspiracy. And
yeah, now if I'm being paid, why am I getting up at 3 o'clock and starting work at 4 o'clock every morning? I work 7 days a week. I don't have no days off. Now, where am I getting paid? Who's paying me? Because I don't have no money.
The Illuminati hasn't sent you your check yet.
Man, it's been long. It's been 10, 11 years, and they haven't sent nothing yet. You know, and I have to work every day.
Yeah, you know, I know what you mean. Like I used to believe a lot of the lies about 9/11. I thought there was like all these people involved in it, and like I even when I first read about like the stuff about you, I was like, ooh, he must have been part of the conspiracy.
See, that was part of the conspiracy because. Conspiracies on me because I didn't get a dime. The government never gave me one penny. I received money from the Red Cross and I received money from the Survivors Fund.
Yeah. Well,
That's it.
Hey, do you remember when you were sitting there with those guys and they got you to like look at a picture of where your cab was?
Oh yeah, you know what? I know where the cab was. And I know where they wanted to be, but I can prove where the car was by the pictures that were taken because my car is a permanent picture of the Pentagon and the fire. There's one cab involved. You know, my cab is the only cab in the world involved in 9/11.
Yeah, it's a very famous cab.
And I know where the car was, and they're trying to put it somewhere else. For what reason, I do not know, because they weren't there. I was there.
Yeah, so they were like using some kind of distorted picture.
That's right. The picture.
because I remember you. I remember you saying something about, well, here, if you look at this picture, you know, you can tell there's my cab there, but I don't know where you guys got this picture because this doesn't line up with anything or something.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, Route 27 and those poles are still there where I can prove the lineup of the plane in my car. And the, my car is not down where, at the bridge of Columbia Pike where they say it is. It's back closer toward Memorial Bridge. It goes, you know, they got to. Got it wrong. And I don't know why they have it wrong.
Well, I guess they're trying to say that the plane flew north north of the Citgo gas station or something, closer by Arlington Cemetery, and then that proves that there was no way the plane could have hit the Pentagon, and then they say that that proves that the plane flew over the Pentagon. So
that's what they say as far as flying over the Pentagon. I don't know if the plane flew over the Pentagon or not. I know one thing. The plane was at a stage where it was so low that it'd be hard for it to get up, being that low. Now, I did not see it hit the Pentagon. I have no evidence to say that some fell off the Pentagon, off the airplane, where something left. There's no wing left. There's nothing left from the plane at that where I was standing that you could see where something hit the Pentagon. You know, I mean, to me, it's amazing. You have to see some evidence of something, a plane as wide as it was. The hole was not tall enough for the tail section to get in.
Yeah. Well, you see, like, you said the same thing about, like, I talked to a guy that saw the plane hit the ground in Shanksville.
Right.
And he is totally amazed because him and his boss were, like, about 300 yards away. The plane flew over their heads. They were running. They watched it go down into the field, and they ran to where it crashed when they saw it with their own eyes. And he said when they got there, there was nothing there. But they saw it go down and hit the field with their eyes. So that's just, that's kind of a strange thing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, well, the plane was shot down in Pennsylvania.
Well, that's what some people think, I guess. But I talked to one guy. He says he watched it go down like it was going to land, and it just hit the ground, and there was an explosion, and him and his boss ran to the hole, and there was nothing there but a hole.
Well, I can't get involved with that because I do not.
Well, yeah, I understand that. It's just, it's just like, it kind of like, it's strange to hear you, like, the way you say, like, you know, there was this big, huge plane, and, you know, and then there's no debris from it.
That's right.
The Pentagon. And this guy said kind of like the same thing at Shanksville.
Well, that's true. There was no debris. I mean, it's like someone changing clothes, and you go where they were, and then, hello, you can't find the clothes.
But I did talk to some people, like some of the firefighters and stuff, and they did see some debris. And there's pictures of debris, but, I mean, for the...
Would they have a wheel or something?
Yeah, like there was a wheel axle, and then there's, like, you know, I guess, like, different little pieces of the fuselage.
Where'd the plane go?
I don't know.
I mean, I was there at the time, and I looked, and I couldn't see nothing but a small opening in the Pentagon. There were no, it's not like a car accident where you see headlight and all these parts here and parts thrown here and parts over there. None of that. Mm-hmm. And do you know what happened? After the 9/11, the way they fixed the area where the plane was and the land, you can't tell it no more. They completely did away with all that material there. You can't even see it. You can't see anything from the ground now because they built the ground up.
Oh, they changed, like, the whole landscape and everything?
They did to that particular area. They say the plane hit people who know what happens in the Pentagon. I went to the Pentagon once after the plane hit, and that was, I think, was 10 years or so. They had a dedication or a memorial or something for 9/11.
Yeah.
I belong to the Blue Knights. They gave us a private tour of the Pentagon, and the guys telling us that the man driving the cab was injured. I said, no, I wasn't injured. He looked at me like, what am I talking about, you know? Because I was the one that was driving the cab. You know?
He must have got a pretty good shock out of that one.
Yeah, you know, I said the man was injured. I mean, you know, I never went to the hospital. I did go to the hospital to have a checkup, but that's as far as I went.
But you weren't, like, cut or anything, even. Like, it was pretty, you were pretty lucky, I guess.
Oh, you know, people say what they would have done, but you can't do nothing when you're not prepared.
Well, yeah, for sure.
I wasn't prepared for the pole to come down and come through my car.
Like, you were you just driving at normal speed when the pole hit, or?
Yeah.
Like, at about 50 kilometers, or, I mean, 40 miles an hour or something?
I was doing about 50 miles an hour.
Yeah?
I went down. I said, Dad, look at the plane. Because the reason I was going home was because I picked up a passenger. I drive a cab for a living. And I picked up a passenger, and they said that a plane had hit one of the towers at the Pentagon. So I said, well. And then I picked up another woman who was talking about having a plane hit the Pentagon. I'm not the Pentagon, but the place in New York.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I said, best thing for me to do then is go home and get out of what's happening. And I couldn't make it home. I was involved in it, and I was on my way home. So I walked home, because once the pole hit the car, we got the pole out of the car wouldn't start. Now, the reason the car would not start is because it has a switch in the trunk, and that switch goes off when the car is upset. The next day, I threw that switch and the car started up, because I got the car back the next day. I went to the courthouse to get it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you said, like, so you saw the plane coming in? Like, you seen it low before it hit the pole and the pole hit your taxi cab?
I never saw the plane hit anything. But apparently, the pole was on the wing of the plane, and the pole came down off the plane as it was going over the Washington Boulevard. Mm-hmm. And the pole came down and just glass and everything just splattered, just went everywhere.
So you think, like, if the way what those guys say about, oh, the plane did a flyover or whatever, like, if the plane wouldn't have hit the Pentagon or whatever and it would have flew over the Pentagon, I would imagine, like, you and a whole bunch of hundreds, if not maybe thousands of people would have saw the plane flying away, kind of thing.
Well, let's put it this way. I didn't see anything once the pole came through my windshield, because I'm wrestling with the car trying to stop it, because I'm driving along.
Well, just kind of like put on the brakes and trying to steer to the car?
I drove the car, because this big pole is in the car with me.
Mm-hmm.
So the plane was out of the question at that particular time. Now the plane came back into it when I stopped. Then I could deal with the plane again. But there was no plane to be seen. There was no sound to be heard. It was quiet.
Like after the explosion or whatever? Or did you even notice that?
Some time ago, it might have been an explosion, but explosion.
Well, yeah, I guess I figure, okay, it's been about 10 years now, so I guess it is been quite a long time ago.
It was an explosion. It wasn't anything on the outside. It was all contained in the area of where the hole was.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you believe the story that we've been told about 9/11? Like, I guess the official story of 9/11, like, do you believe we were told the truth about that day?
I don't know what you were told.
Well, I mean, the official reports, like, government reports that 19 Arab hijackers with box knives hijacked all these planes and were able to crash them the way they did when they didn't even know how to fly. And
well,
being able to even get to the Pentagon is how secure it was, and I don't know, just stranded, and the towers just exploding into dust, and they say that they were just like, I don't know, just none of it makes sense to me. But
well, I feel that the plane the plane and the people involved at the time was an inside job. I don't believe anybody in another country staged what they did without some knowledge of the people here. There's some conspiracy to it, and I don't know why I'm involved in it. I'm not supposed to be involved in it because I'm just on my way home.
Well, yeah, that's what when Craig was recording you in the van when you guys were driving, you had said something about this conspiracy is a lot bigger than me or whatever.
That's right. I had nothing to do with it. I don't even know how I got involved in it.
You just
in the right place at the wrong time.
Wrong place, wrong time, I guess.
Yeah, but here I am. I'm in it.
Yeah, well, yeah. You're.
I'm not getting a dime for it. I mean, it's a lot of headache for nothing, as far as I'm concerned. But there are a lot of lies involved in it. It was done for a reason, because the whole planet has changed since then. All the money that's being made in security and all these lines, that's why I never fly a plane again, because going through all the security, who have they caught? In 10 years, who have they caught with all the security?
Yeah, you would imagine that they'd, with all the resources of all the intelligence agencies and everything, they'd be able to catch a couple of guys from a cave.
Yeah, at least somebody.
Like a,
I'm doing nothing.
A reporter from CNN was able to find Osama bin Laden and interview him just a little while before 9/11. So that was kind of funny.
Well, it's a big move for somebody, some people.
I noticed you. You had a David Icke book in your taxi cab.
Yep.
You read that? Do you read that guy and stuff?
Yeah, I've read it.
So you know about all the way they talk about this whole global conspiracy and the Illuminati and all that stuff?
Well, they know more about the thing than I do, because all I know is why I'm working. Why I have a chance, I read the book.
Yeah, so yep. You are familiar with the idea that there is some kind of global conspiracy going on, kind of thing.
And well, there's always conspiracies going on.
Well, yeah, that's true.
There's nothing new about that.
So, but you weren't part of it in any way, where you were being paid off by the Illuminati or anything?
Well, you have to see the way I live, and you know that I'm not getting paid as much as I'm working, and the bills that I have. You know what, I can't even pay my house note. My house note is $2,550 a month.
Holy shit.
I have a problem paying it. I have a car. I have a 2007 Lincoln for my, that's my cab.
Mm-hmm.
My payment on that is $500. Well, it runs about $400 to $500 a month. Depends upon when I pay the note and the interest that's on it. So it costs me $120 a week to pay the car note, plus insurance and other bills that I have. I had to borrow money on it because I didn't have money. And I pay off the, what's it called? The credit.
Well, from what it looks like now, the whole economy is going to be collapsing and nobody's going to be, everybody isn't going to be in the same boat as everybody else.
Well, it might, but, you know, I'm in it, you know, and if anybody thinks I'm getting paid, then I would like to know where the money's going, because I'm not getting it.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, it's just, like, that's the big question I see on the internet is about the pole hitting the, not doing any damage to the hood of your car. And people are like, oh, the light poles must have been staged. And it's like, I don't know.
Well, let's look at it this way. I'm driving along, and a pole come down. The pole wasn't level with the car. The pole was higher than the car. So when the pole hit the car, it moved. It never hit the hood. It was never low enough to hit the hood. If it had been low enough to hit the hood, it would have went through the hood. It wasn't low. But at the angle it went to, it hit at the windshield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I was trying to look at pictures to see if like the windshield could have kept the pole propped up from touching the hood.
Well, it did in a way because I'm moving and the plane's moving and we're moving at two different angles and the pole hit and just came right through the car. No control over the pole. The pole was on its own. I mean, I am fortunate to be living because if the pole had been over a little bit further, it would have come through me and there was nothing I could do about it because I never saw it. The only way I know a pole hit the car is because I'm a witness to the evidence of it, but before it hit, I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm. And you don't, like, you never got the guy's name that helped you with the pole or anything? It just, he just kind of,
you know,
I was reading, like, it's pretty, well, what I was reading, it was like, oh, it's pretty mysterious that just a total stranger comes over to Lloyd and they get the pole out within 5 minutes of it happening, and this mysterious stranger just kind of like,
well, if it's strange, it happened. And see, the thing about it is, this happened to me. It didn't happen to them. They're trying to say what happened to me is strange.
Yes.
But it happened to me. It didn't happen to them. They're trying to figure out why things happened to me. But it happened to me. It didn't happen to them. They're trying to assume something that they weren't a witness to. I was there.
Exactly.
It happened to me.
Exactly. I understand exactly what you're saying oh too well.
Yeah, so you're trying to explain something that I have no explanation for other than what happened.
It's just, it is what it is kind of thing.
That's right. I mean, I'm here because I'm here. I'm not here because I had anything to do with it. It just happened to be the way it was. I mean, we can always try to assume why things happen and why it didn't happen another way. I can't do it no other way than what happened. It was final when it happened. There was nothing I could do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing I could try to do was get relief. And they tried to charge me for storage of the car and for a night's stay at the junkyard.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they tried to...
Not very nice.
All this is at the courthouse, at Arlington County Courthouse, because I had to go there to get my car back.
Mm-hmm. I was reading somewhere, too, I don't know, this doesn't mean anything really, but you're using the same license plates on your new car that were on your old car?
Yeah, it's the same plate.
Mm-hmm. See, there's everything about you on the internet. you're a very famous person on the internet.
Well, see, it's my car. You can transfer it. If you have a car, if you say you're going to get rid of the car you got, you can use the plates on the new car.
Right, yeah.
What's wrong with that?
No, nothing. I just, it's just another thing I read where people were wondering, that's kind of strange. But really, in reality...
That's what I wonder. I mean, what's strange about it?
Nothing.
my tag 6,000, even though it's almost 2,000 now, with the tag number running the way they are. But, you know, I had a 1990 Lincoln. Mm-hmm. The plane damaged that. I went and bought a 1995 Lincoln. Now I have a 2007 Lincoln. And I still have those two Lincolns.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to sell one.
What?
You know what I found out? I found out when you keep a car that it will disintegrate. Doesn't make any difference about the metal. You find I have a farm down in the country, and a tree will grow right through a car.
Oh yeah, like if it just kind of sits there.
That's right. So eventually, it turns to nothing. It just disintegrates. It's just man-made, and it has a tendency to turn back to where it came from. I mean, it'd take a long time for it to do it, but it's on its way.
Yeah. Well, those guys too. Like you spent the whole day with them and stuff.
I spent more time than my wife wanted me to spend. She told me don't talk to them. But the reason I talked to them was because I felt that they would tell the truth. But they told their side of the story the way they wanted to tell it. And no one has come. No one has actually come to me the way they did to hear the other side.
Yeah.
And I'm not challenging what they say because they can't prove nothing. All they can do is bring up a subject and have an idea about what should happen, but they weren't there.
Yeah. It just seemed like as soon as when I was watching that interview and you started questioning their picture, I knew there was something was going on, and they weren't being totally... That's where I got the impression that they weren't being honest. They kind of had an agenda or something.
Well, I don't know what their agenda is. Now it'd be nice to know who they're getting paid by. Not getting paid.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Here I am. I'm home. And here, I was in the bed at 6 o'clock, and yet somebody's paying me. And I'm getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Something's wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, why would I be going to bed at 6 o'clock in the evening? The sun is still up, and I'm getting paid.
Oh, this is when you're going to bed now.
Huh?
So you were just going to bed when I called you, or...?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
Because I get up at 3 o'clock.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, yeah, if you were working for the Illuminati, you wouldn't have to be doing that.
Yeah, I'm working for somebody. Anybody gets paid, you're not going to have to get up like this. Yeah, so it'd be different if you called and I was getting ready to go out somewhere, but I'm in the bed, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in the bed for the night.
Well, I mean, I don't wanna keep you up or anything. I really appreciate you talking to me. Like, thank you very much for, you know, talking to me. Like,
well, I still have the car, and if there's any doubt you want, I think I have the only proof of the accident that anybody have. They don't have nothing else.
Well, I've seen, like, a lot of video and pictures of your cab on the street there on 9/11.
Yeah, but I'm saying I'm not the one with the proof.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well,
it doesn't exist nowhere else.
Well, that cab should be, like, in a Smithsonian or something, I would think.
You know...
It's like a part of history.
You know, I've been told that, but I wonder why no one has come to find out about it. I mean, this is a worldwide thing. And nobody is curious enough to see about it.
No one wants to even talk about that day. They just want it to, like, be in the past kind of thing, it seems.
Yeah, it's to me. law, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. But
you know, I was told that, well, my daughter put the car on the internet to get rid of it, and people were saying I was trying to make money off of 9/11.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's people, you know, they twist it the way they want to.
Well, I don't, just personally, if I were you, I wouldn't sell it because that's part of history. I don't know, I guess, well, under these circumstances, because it is 9/11, I mean, I don't know, but
the history to who?
I don't know, like, if I had the money, I'd buy it. But
I mean, eventually it might be worth something to more people than it is now, but there are people who know about it, but they don't seem to be interested in anything that is there. They're just interested in theory.
Yeah.
They won't get it.
Yeah, well.
Fast. And the people who are on those planes, I don't know what happened to them.
Yeah, there's a lot of strangeness about that day, and that's another part of the strangeness is, yeah.
I think I was interviewed by NBC at least two or three years afterward. You know, the police ran us away one time because they didn't want us on the ground. And we were on the ground at the Pentagon, as far as I know, but we were on the grounds close to the Pentagon, and they didn't want us there. So we had to go away to another place to be interviewed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. This is not at night. This is in the broad daylight.
Yeah, like they didn't want you and the news crew to be like, they told you.
They didn't want us near the Pentagon.
That's kind of strange. Well, I read too, like, isn't your wife an FBI agent?
No. My wife is a cleaner.
Oh, okay. So she's not.
She works at the FBI building.
Okay.
She is a cleaner. Now, so I say she works at the FBI building. You can assume what you want to.
Okay. I get it.
But she is not an FBI agent. I took my wife to work today. She called me. I was at the Union Station. She called me about 5 something. And I came home and picked her up and took her back to work. Now, she drives every day. But being that it was after 5 o'clock, she didn't want to take a chance of driving into D.C. and not having a parking space.
Yeah.
So I came home and picked her up and picked her up to take her, bring her back home. She got off at 1:30. See, we both work in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you work like 7 days a week, you said?
I work 9. I work every day.
Every day?
Every day. My wife works when someone, they call her in. She might work 2 days a week. She might work 3 days a week. She might work 5 days a week. But I work every day. I wake up every day at 3 o'clock, and I leave here at 4 o'clock.
So would it be possible if I had any more questions about reading stuff on the internet, I might be able to call you again one day and talk to you about it?
I live here. I'm here every day. I was here when you called last time, but the phone would cut off before I could get to it.
No, for sure. That's
you know, you have to let the phone ring at least 10 times or more, because the phone is in my bedroom and I'm in the living room, and by the time I hear it and I realize it's my phone, and they get back to it, it's cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the recording comes on and you leave a message, the message comes down. It's not that it's not clear. I can understand it, but so quick that I got to remember all the numbers, and I miss a number. So I have to keep repeating it over and over again until I get the right numbers down. So I had to get my wife to hear it so she could, so she wrote it down, and we called. So.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, like I said, for calling me back and letting me talk to you and stuff.
I have nothing to hide. You know, I mean, it's past. I mean, it happened to me. Well, I don't know. I can't explain why it happened. The only thing I can say is that it did happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just...
It is, and like you said, it is what it is kind of thing.
That's right.
Okay, sir, well, I'm going to let you get to bed, and then, like I said, thank you very much for talking to me, and please don't sell that cab to anybody that's not going to appreciate it for what it is, especially someone that might just kind of buy it and, like, cut it up into pieces or something. I don't know. You never know.
Well, I don't want that done.
Yeah.
I don't want... I want it to stay in one piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay, sir, well, get yourself some sleep, and thank you very much for talking to me, and I'll talk to you again sometime, I hope.
Okay, and let me explain something to you.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the time, your concern on what happened, and I appreciate you taking the time to get involved with me, because you had to take the time out of your life to get involved with what happened to me. And therefore, I'm willing to take the time to try to explain to you the story, the way it was. And I appreciate your time.
Well, that's a very nice way to put it. Thank you very much.
Right. So, and I'm basically here all the time, you know, in the evening like this.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. England. Well, thank you very much, sir, and I'll talk to you again sometime.
Okay.
Okay, take care.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.